You're listening to Safety Corner, powered by TCL and S1, for workers, by workers. Online and in-person health and safety programs and training available in 10-plus languages. Reach out to them at www.mys1.ca and DM them at my_S1 for more information.
Bon dia, Manny.
What's going on, Phil?
Hey, you know, another day. Another podcast.
I was just looking at it going, like, I was thinking to myself, I think I only do this show so that I can get a bunch of coffee mugs and a bunch of hats and a bunch of swag. And people always bring gifts and sometimes booze. I'll get booze.
I got a gift for you, Manny.
You got it? Really?
I forgot to bring it for you. You were telling me how much
you like the eggs.
I got a nice carton of fresh farm eggs from our farm.
I love eggs, man. Especially fresh farm eggs.
They're brown. Yeah. Actually, they're
brown, dirty. I love.
They're multicolored. We got brown ones. We got some blue ones.
Like gray, some blue. Yeah, like they're all kinds of depending on the chicken. I know, totally.
And if you don't mind, some of them do have a little bit of chicken shit on them, but those are the best ones for me.
The shells are. I want to eventually build my own little greenhouse because and keep all those shells because those shells, when you grind them up, they make great fertilizer and stuff.
Yeah. Actually, I was watching something. I sent it to my mom because she's a little bit of a green thumb and. That's this guy was planting tomatoes or he was doing his tomatoes. And that's what he put inside every hole before he planted his seeds was an egg. Not a whole egg.
A whole egg.
A whole egg.
A right whole egg.
Yeah. Because apparently the egg breaks down and gives the tomato plant extra nutrients. And yeah.
You would figure like, you remember participation?
Amazing.
That was like needed during the recent pandemic.
But go out and exercise and get some vitamin D and some
Yeah, exactly. You'll build your immune system.
Yeah, just fight the flu.
And I'm just saying there should be a participation version of Green Thumb, of eating healthier. And I've said it to a modular guy that's been on the show before, Adnan, who's a great friend. He's been on the show several times. And I was like, dude, you need to develop a modular C-can greenhouse that could just be dropped in people's backyards.
Oh, yeah,
so they can grow their own fucking food and herbs and everything.
I feel like a lot of people are slowly going back to their roots when it comes to gardening and chickens and
it's healthy and it's mentally healthy to be in around greenery.
Yeah, no, I'm fortunate enough. We have a little family farm and, you know, like even with my kids, man, every year where they're planting and
they're digging in the dirt,
hands dirty.
But then they also get to see the plants grow, thrive, seed.
It's amazing for my kids.
I know.
I see it in them.
Well, you figured they would put that in the playgrounds at elementary schools.
It should be put into schools, man. It's some crazy
Instagram. Schools should have greenhouses.
Dude, schools should have a lot of things.
Schools should have greenhouses.
What Instagram post was I watching these kids in China, man? And these kids are like four. And they're sewing and they're cooking out in the, like cooking open flame walks and, you know, chopping up with real knives. And it's like, you know, like if you give a real knife to a kid that's 4 or 5 here, people lose their minds. You know, I don't know.
I was just going to make a joke about the Chinese and the wok and stuff like that. They're just getting ready for Canadian employment.
There was a show on TV. I didn't even want to laugh at that. I didn't even get it.
They come here as an immigrant and then they get thrown into a kitchen and they start cooking because they've got the skills how to cook.
At that
age. That was the joke is what I was trying to make.
The reality is that I'm sure a lot of people come from those like Asia and get tossed right into crazy things here in Canada.
Get abused by employers is what it is. But the bottom line is that I think that it's these are mandates that should be implemented. And you know what? In all fairness, fine. We're in a dictatorship right now. And if they're not doing it, then we should just do it on our own.
Listen,
and if they police us, then fuck them.
I don't wait for the government to tell me how to raise my kids.
No, you can't.
No.
Because they're doing a bad job.
No, man. Their job is to just, no. I don't care about any of their input about raising kids. But speaking of the walks, there used to be a show I used to watch when I was a kid. It was something Walk and Cook or
no whatever.
Is that he was such an he seemed like such a nice
he always had
like
the different apron with the walk, phrase on it walk with Wan or some I can't remember
it was a really good show
it was so, great
yeah I used to enjoy it. He was like the Asian Mr. Dress Up man when it came to cooking.
he was great. I never really paid attention to what he was cooking, but I was fascinated by how he was doing shit.
Yeah, no man, for
but
sure.
I was too young to really pay attention. I would be paying attention course. Now I'm sure you could find it on YouTube.
Oh, yeah.
Walk with Wen or something
like that.
Something like
that. Even old cartoons, man, with my kids. Like, we were watching the old He-Man the other day and She-Ra and G.I. Joe and stuff like that.
I know, but He-Man's best friend is Fisto. You don't want to have a buddy that's named Fisto. I'm sorry. Hey, Fisto. No.
Man, I've never looked at it that way, but
well, Skeletor was reminding me of that shit,
thank
right?
Thank you for
Fisto
enlightening me.
Yeah. Remember he could change his arm or something like that?
Yeah, no. He had that giant fist.
Yeah. No, there was some funny things that were getting flagged right nowadays, but what are we talking about today?
Well, today there's some new regulation updates. Mainly focused at women and women in construction. Last week was International Women's Day.
Yep.
You know, and so today we want to talk a bit about that and women in construction and stuff like that. And before we get into it, some caveats just to put on the board before, you know, someone says, Philip, you're mansplaining. Is that what it's called? Mansplaining everything?
Yeah, okay, whatever.
I don't know, but, you know.
We don't have an opinion?
Well, hey, listen, I don't know. We're going to talk about it.
According to liberals, we don't have an opinion.
I don't know. All right, man. Fine. I don't know, man. So stop trying to take me down that slide, man. I don't want to go down that slide.
We're going to have a safety corner mansplaining episode. So everybody who wants to tune out.
No, there's not going to be any mansplaining. We're going over some of the regulations and how it applies.
These are just new recently that they've implemented or this
one
year?
One of these is newer than the other. It deals with tampons and menstrual pads on construction projects. And the other one deals with women facilities. Women wash facilities and washrooms on construction.
Oh, we're going to talk about washrooms.
Yeah, we're going to talk about washrooms, man.
Or are we going to talk about the corporations that use illegal washrooms? The big corporations that use illegal washrooms?
What do you mean an illegal washroom?
Well, in a washroom on a job site, if it doesn't have hot and cold running water and heat and AC, is an illegal washroom. And that's the majority of washrooms that are on big construction.
There's some caveats there that comes to washroom facilities, when they're required, et cetera, et cetera. And some of the requirements for these washroom facilities. So we're going to jump into all of it.
Yeah, we'll discuss it.
So just a few things before we start. First, and I don't think you know this, but S1, my company, is proudly woman-owned. It's amazing. And I can say this as previously as an inspector, you know, it's great to see women on construction projects.
Of course.
As an inspector, you know, as someone that's written washroom orders thousands of times and have gone into some very heated discussions about washroom facilities and availability of washroom facilities. And again, a lot of it stems from me just being in the trades and having to use a porta potty in minus 20.
Yeah.
You know,
the pyramid is shit. I know that. Yeah, I've been in there. I've walked in there. I know.
And washroom facilities, and just to put this on everyone's radar, you know, washroom facilities, as an inspector, you get on a job site and you look at the condition of the washroom facilities. And I think it has a direct correlation with how that constructor is respecting the workers on site and providing, you know,
that's a very good point.
Basics and rights and cleanliness and access to washroom facilities. And this thing with washroom facilities and wash facilities really came into the spotlight during COVID.
Mm-hmm.
Right. But I can tell you that there's been inspectors writing thousands of these orders to a lot of these builders. You know, how am I going to get a washroom on the 17th floor? How am I going to get running water?
How are you going to get material up there? How are you going to get workers up there?
Listen,
there's
no reason why you can't have running water on multi-million dollar projects and all of these. And during COVID, you'd be surprised how quickly they were able to find running water and put running water on these job sites.
Listen, man, it's almost 7 years that I've been doing these shows. And I remember the first year of doing the shows, I was discovering guys that were getting on job sites with no washrooms and being told by constructors and builders to use the bucket. Put a garbage bag inside the bucket and shit in the bucket. Or use boxes of material that was just installed. Use that as your shit point and then throw it out into the bin.
Many.
And I'm like, this is disgusting. I always put the proper bathroom on my toilets because I use it.
Of course, 100%. And again, it's a direct reflection of how much the builder really gives a shit about you.
It shows.
Yeah. Right. If I, as an enforcement officer, arrive on a project and there's 100 workers and there's only 3 washrooms and these washrooms are mangled, it's gross, man.
Because there is a frequency. I know. And that as a builder, fine. 1 week you might have 1 or 2 workers. Another week you'll have 20 workers. You need to call the washroom people and go, listen, guys, you need to do a double take this week or a triple
100%.
Take this week.
100%. Listen.
And on a side note, I always offer the honey wagon, guys.
The nice ones?
No, I always got the nice ones, but when the guys came to clean it out, and in the summer months, you don't know what smell is until you have those hot summer months and they come in and clean. But I always offer them an espresso. I always offer them to come in and have a coffee, or I bring it to them. I always did that.
Washrooms are about dignity.
Yeah.
You know, that's how I look at it. Washrooms are about dignity, and all workers deserve access to clean, hygiene.
Man or woman.
All workers. I try not to differentiate between male and female when we're on site. You know, it's workers for me, you know, and even as an enforcement officer, you try to be neutral and you try to be the referee. And, you know, it was nice, and it is nice to see women on construction projects, you know, and back then we didn't have more of these regulations and washroom facilities. And, you know, the only regulation was that you had to have a box for used tampons and stuff like that.
Yeah, napkin box. Yeah.
I can't read this. It begins with an R.
I can't remember.
I forgot. But, you know, and we used to push it and, you know, get on site. Do we have any females on site? Okay. And I would find the females on site. I'm like, okay, you have any issues? How are the washroom facilities? And this and that, like, you know, is anybody bothering you? Like, you would, as an enforcement officer, because again, women, no matter which sector they work, face some challenges,
of course,
or more unique challenges,
of course,
yeah, or different. I don't know, more similar than anything else, right? And
the room for harassment is greater in that scenario.
Oh, sure. And again, harassment is a slippery slope, and it all depends on perspective. And, you know, I've done a lot of these workplace violence and harassment investigations. And, you know, a lot of it's at the end, just shake your hands if it's not a criminal matter, obviously. But I've done some extreme investigations where, you know, I think I told you once about the carpenters and the knife fights on job sites. And police and helicopters and stuff like
you
that.
You don't want a fight break out on a job site. There's just too many weapons, man.
Well, yeah, that's what it became. It was a 2x4 and versus hammers versus nail guns versus that's why the police got involved with that one.
I just saw a video with a guy and a drone flying over a job site framing.
Uh-huh.
And the guy took his nailer and shot the camera, broke the lens.
That's a hell of a shot.
That's a hell of a shot. Yeah. Pretty talented shot.
I'd like to know how he's able to disengage the safety device.
It's easy.
Device.
You don't know how to do that?
I know.
We used to do this on job sites all the time.
But disengage the safety device?
And so shoot it up in the air, and then everyone, last person to run out, run away.
No, you didn't. Stop. You saw that on the internet somewhere. No. Get out of here.
Yes, I did. I mean, yeah, I saw it on the internet. Yes. I wasn't the one pulling the trigger.
Were you guys wearing hard hats?
No. Yeah, we were wearing hard hats.
Bro,
but the last person to leave.
There's a game like that, but it was with bow and arrows, archery.
I know, but the thing is, by the time it goes all the way up and it shoots back down, there's no way you're expecting this, you know, urban myth where it's going to like penetrate your skull.
It's impossible. I would have to say that would fall under no horseplay on the construction project.
It was pretty funny, though. Did we ever document? No. Did I ever copy, download that video?
Manny, I don't want to hear about all your escapades. I might have to.
I thought it was entertaining.
After this podcast, I'm giving you a ticket.
Sure, I won't show up in court.
No, don't.
All right, fine. So washrooms.
So washroom facilities and stuff. So, you know, it's always a challenge. And the Ministry of Labor passed some regulations in terms of addressing washroom facilities and menstrual pads and availability of menstrual pads and tampons on a construction project. So we gather some data and we gather some stats and see who this applies to and stuff like that and see whether or not it's really effective in doing what it's doing. I don't know. So we're going to take a look at it.
I know, but this is what I had a problem. Was it 2 years ago with Monty when he was a minister for Ontario?
Uh-huh.
He was just so focused on bathrooms, but I didn't understand it. I'm telling you, I know the law. Hot and cold running water, AC in the summer and heat in the winter.
And
it wasn't being implemented. My job sites were. Listen, we had the wedding bathroom. Do you know the larger white box one? 5x5?
Yeah, the nice ones.
Plugged in?
Yeah.
You know why?
How much is that? $500 a month?
It's twice the price. It's twice the price than a regular blue crappy one, right? Which just gives you a toilet and a urinal. And then you have, sometimes you get a sink or you'll have the sanitation.
The sanitizer,
right? And then that was it. And I was like, fuck this shit. I want heat. I want room on my toilet. And I want a separate urinal. And that's why. And I want hot and cold running water. So then I got it.
These are all minimums, man.
But that's the legal one. And all the ones that are on sites right now mostly are illegal ones.
There's... if reasonable. And this is a little caveat that they throw in there. If reasonable. If it's reasonable to have hot and cold running water. There's a little subsection there.
But that's designed for big builders to get away with these kinds of things.
And then they have another section that deals with wash facilities and whenever workers are using or handling corrosive chemicals and stuff like that too.
That's a different situation.
Yeah. But listen, ultimately, yes. And I can tell you're very passionate about this washroom topic, Manny. But
listen, man, I love those little wedding washrooms. I think they're clean because I remember guys coming up to me going, listen, I refuse to use the washroom because I think they're nasty. I'm going to go to Tim Hortons. And I was like, dude, next time you go to Tim Hortons, bring a black light with you, okay?
Yeah.
And then tell me mine's dirtier than that one.
I'm sure. And we've had issues with that before where like Tim Hortons, the guys are refusing to use the job site washrooms and then they're all using the Tim Hortons. And Tim Hortons says, you know what? No more construction workers in our washrooms because you guys show up here, drag mud in everywhere, mangle our washroom, and then don't even buy a coffee.
I've seen that.
I've seen that.
I know.
So, okay.
Let's get into it.
And you're correct in saying that, you know, there was a big push for women in construction. And I think it was during that imaginary labor shortage that we had last year or 2 years ago.
Still going on, I think.
Yeah. According to some, there's still a labor shortage. I don't know.
Yeah, because they just got the memo.
They haven't got the memo yet.
It was dated 2024.
It's these numbers.
We get our memos from elsewhere.
I don't know, man.
From real sources.
I don't know, man. You want to find out how things are, you got to go to the site. All right. So, yeah, a lot of this was happening during those pushes, whereas the labor shortage, and I'll put that in quotations because I think that never existed. But, you know, it was, you know, more women in construction and equality and even numbers, which is, again, it's like we talked on the last show, zero fatalities. It's never going to happen, right? And
it will if I was running things.
What?
Zero fatalities.
That's a hard one to slice, man. That's like saying zero car accidents, right?
No, I'm not challenging that one.
But
job sites, I could totally challenge that one. Give me the job. I want seven figures and I'll prove it.
Yeah, that's one job site.
No. Every job site. I want seven figures and I'll prove that.
Are you saying that you're...
In one term, I'll get zero fatalities.
100 executive orders in the first 100 days.
Well, that's a good one that we just signed right now. That's a good one here. Keep the pen, Phil.
Thanks. It's out of control, man. Just on a side note, man, I can't take this telenovela anymore. Last time I checked.
What's going on now?
We are at a proxy war with Russia. We're in a trade war with China. Shit. And we're in a trade war with the United States, the three largest superpowers in the world. Amazing. But anyway, side note.
That's a different thing.
That's a whole other episode.
The way they're proceeding with this playground fight is absolutely insane. We have no legs to stand on. Everybody's sitting down on our side.
With their legs crossed, I guess. I don't know.
No, with their asses up. It's just like, this is ridiculous. But that's crazy, a whole man. Other show. Okay, women in construction.
And again, I didn't mean to take you back on the political tangent. We always get lost on the politics, man.
Because it's never ending.
No, and it's just, it's. Listen, this telenovela should be up for a Grammy by the end of the year. Is it Grammy, Oscars, whatever award?
It will be, and I guess I guarantee you'll win because the taxpayer dollars will pay for it. Beyonce, you talentless fucking...
Come on. She won a country award, didn't she?
They buy.
Stop.
They pay. Jay-Z pays.
I know. Don't Everyone worry. Pays.
Okay. All right. 3.6. What are okay?
So, you know, a very big push to get workers into the construction industry. And I work with a lot of different safety teams. I'll say 50% of the safety teams I work with either are made up completely of women.
Okay.
Or at least half of that team is women.
So not the same ratio as regular construction?
No.
90-10, 95-5.
I feel like right now a lot of the teams that I'm working with are run by women, which is amazing.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Okay. Yeah, no, good. It's pretty good. And, you know, like, I think it's great. I think, you know, the more workers, the better. But again, you know, as from my perspective, as neutral and as a referee, you know, workers are workers, you know, whether you're Portuguese women or, you know, you're an Asian man.
There's no culture. There's no race.
Hair or
there's no sex.
No.
Worker's a worker. You're being hired based on skill.
And that's where it really comes into is skill set, right? And construction, again, is the most diverse work group. And I'll say is the most accepting group.
colorful, you know what I mean? Cast of construction characters.
Yeah, I think the only metric that out in the field, and I can't talk about these corporate offices, but out in the field, I think the only metrics are is your work ethic and your skill set. Those are what counts.
Yeah.
Right?
I think any builder would agree with that, saying that that's what I hire on.
Yeah.
That's what I fire on too.
Yeah. 100%. And even with internally at my company, you know, I hire based on skill set. Whether you're a female or a male or this or that.
Hire on DEI, dude.
No, don't get me started.
I would never hire on DEI. No, never.
If you value your business and you value your clients, you know, you want to hire the best people that are going to support them.
Yeah.
That's how I look at it. Provide
the service that you are building or the product that you have designed.
Yeah, 100%. Right? But again, you know, I guess this was necessary. I'm not sure. What I can tell you is that most of these companies without women in place, and I'm not talking about in the field, I'm talking about the glue that holds these companies together, right? I know with my experience, if it wasn't for the women on my team, man, I'd be a disorganized storm of chaos.
I have a problem with that title there.
Are we getting into the stats already?
Well, no, not stats just yet, but that title there. What journalist? What bullshit paid news program?
Which is one? That was, I think, from CBC.
Okay, so I have a problem with it.
Read it out loud first. Hold on, sure, before we jump in. Shoot. So Ontario pledges $3.6 million to train more women, young people as construction workers. The date of this was August 8th, 2023. So again,
23.
Yeah. So it was a big push in the last 2 years to bring more workers, shortage of work. And we must have done such an excellent job of training all these workers that we brought in that we have such high unemployment now in construction, which boggles my mind. But again, so there was a big push and there was funding. The Ontario government says it will spend $3.6 million to provide free training. So it's not free. It's free for them. And attract more women and young people to work in the construction industry as the province seeks to address a labor shortage that could put its housing goals at risk.
We were already at risk with the housing back in 23 of August.
The second the interest rates went up, yeah, we were out of housing.
My problem with that is that this is what I have a problem with, all these people that wear suits that dictate what the workwear people must do. That 3.6 million should also be allocated towards train more men and women and young people. Once you start discriminating against the 95% workforce and only favor a certain percentage, you start creating more problems. Because my mindset is that the reason you get, or how you get more women in construction, is you stop talking about getting more women in construction.
Well, listen,
I take the Morgan Freeman approach when he was being interviewed by
racism. And yeah, stuff. Like,
how do you stop racism? You stop talking about racism. And that's true. When I talk to a black person or a brown person or a yellow person or whatever it is, I'm talking to a person. I don't acknowledge them as their culture.
Yeah, and listen, it's
if I respect their culture, I'd be like, listen, I'm just curious, where do I get this spice from? Because I really want to get the spice. I want to cook this food.
Yeah, sure.
I want to learn from your culture. But the reason how you get women in construction is you stop talking about women in construction.
Construction has been around for 10,000 years, you know, and besides slavery.
You including the pyramids there?
Yeah, probably. Probably. I don't know. Okay. When were those built?
All right.
Right?
3,500? I don't know.
We're not doing a history lesson right now. No. But, you know, I think one of the questions is why do certain groups gravitate more to certain sectors? You know, and speaking as a father, I have a son and a daughter, you know, I wholly believe that training on skill set and common sense and critical thinking and, you know, not taking shit from anybody. And honestly, I feel bad for any boy in the future that's going to cross paths with my daughter, because she's a firecracker and she's awesome.
Good.
But, you know, like even as a father, like, you know, you want them to be well-rounded children. You know, my daughter knows how to use a hammer and my son knows how to use a hammer. And, you know,
but that's parenting.
It is parenting, right? And exposing. And my kids love farming and my kids love, and they take risks and I want them to take risks. Parenting. You know, and they fail and I want them to fail, right? So, you know, and also on a side note, this is the only sector that I know of in Ontario where it's like, okay, women in construction, great, but like, do we see men in nursing? Like, we need more men in nursing. The
Nursing is heavily skewed towards women. Sure. Sure.
And the sector, any of these sectors, I think this is the only sector where it's like, you know, I don't know. I don't see this happening in any other sectors, and I might be wrong. You know, more men being, I don't give me a.
I just don't like all the funding being funneled towards getting this. And it's not that I'm saying there is a reflection. It's clearly like US is 90-10 split. It's like 88-12.
What are we talking about? The number of
men versus women workforce.
Well, not versus, but compared.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's the workforce there. Here is 95-5.
That's we're talking about in construction.
In construction. I'm talking always about construction.
Well, 95.5 probably percentage. Right now.
It might be getting a little higher. There's differences because I've also been told in the Maritimes, there's actually increased a lot more. There's like, it's closer to past 12 or 13%.
I think regionally, it depends too, right? And what opportunities are available for men and women in different sectors, right? Like, listen, I think it's great. I think more men should go into nursing. I think, but I
you go where your passion's going. But what I don't like are funds being used exclusively just for this to ignore who's already doing work.
Listen, I think the caveat here was train more women and young people as construction workers.
Yeah, right? So they kind of cover their bases by saying young people because you can infer that that includes men and women.
One thing's for sure, Manny, without some of these women and working at these companies.
We need these women in construction. We do. I guarantee
I feel like the whole place would fall apart, man. No,
but we do.
So shout out to all the hardworking ladies that have to put up with some of our
bullshit. But if you've got a white guy who's got a child and they want to get into construction and now that child's white and they can't have access to that funding because they're white.
I don't think that anyone is getting excluded from that. I think it's more of a narrative and a spin, you know, and just to go with it. And when it comes push comes a shove, it's going to be based on skill set too.
You right? would like to
I
think,
would like
but
to
I
think
know
so.
A few programs that are government funded that are skewed to bullshit.
Yeah. Hey, listen, I'm not
and
gonna
they're construction relevant.
Yeah. I don't know, Manny.
Okay.
I don't know.
All right. So let's like see the I said, stats on women on construction.
Construction is the most accepting group, I think. You know, I don't think there's...
If you got skills, you're accepted.
Right?
That's how I look at it.
That's how I
want to... You got skills, you can contribute, you can build something for somebody, be profitable, make a company profitable.
And I think there's a danger here, too, of creating a wedge issue. You know, women versus men.
That's what it does. Stop talking
that
about
might,
women.
That might be that's the side effect,
that's
right?
That's what it does.
And a lot of the things that the feedback we get and we talk about on the show, this is from asking workers on in the field. You know, and having these conversations and doing these investigations of workplace issues and writing the orders for washroom facilities and speaking with women and dealing with their challenges and getting a well-rounded perspective on some of these things. Again, it's just, it might be tough to discuss this. I don't know. But let's take a look at some stats.
It's fucking easy to discuss this.
Women in construction. Manny, stop mansplaining it to me. Women in construction stats in Canada. I took this off the internet. I don't know how accurate this is. This comes from a training company that specializes in training workers in construction. But again, let's take a look at some of these stats. And you may need your little trusty calculator for today's episode. You have it there? Put your glasses on, man.
I don't need the glasses.
The way you
the
hold that phone sometimes, man, you remind
me. I don't need it for the phone there. I need it for that. Like, look, there's a small print on that. I can't read any of this shit. It's like reading an eye test, man, an eye chart.
Are you joking, man? You can't read that?
No, no, that I can read. That I can't read. That's okay. All. I can read it now.
When all
I
right, let's.
Man, I'm 53 years old. See, I can read that. Ontario's government says it will pay. Spend 3.6. I could see that. But this shit, I can see. That's not a problem at all.
All right, then let's get into it. Ontario employed 64,800 women in the construction industry in 2021. Okay.
I don't know what to say about that. Okay. All right.
I feel that number is a lot lower now.
Now?
100%. Just because of unemployment.
What I would like to know, if these are stats coming from Canada, that was 2021. How many of those 64,800 women are still in construction?
I always
want to know who's still in construction.
Well, again, from 2021 till 2025.
2023.
No, but until 2025, I'm sure the government has spent more than this $3.6 million for training women and youth. And
how many of those women are still in construction?
Listen, if those numbers come out, you know what? I have a sneaky suspicion that all of this money was spent and nothing was achieved.
Oh, I feel pretty confident that's exactly what happened.
Unfortunately.
That was the ROI on that.
Zero. Next, over 60% of women in construction work in office support roles. So what does that mean? That means
60%, 76.
That's what I said, 76.
So? 60, you said
60. Oh, sorry, my bad. 76% of, now I'm going to have to get my glasses.
Let's see.
Over 76% of women in construction work in office and support roles.
So three quarters of that 64,800 are in office support roles?
I'm guessing that's what it is. So 42,000
or so?
By that stat, 24% of women work on construction projects. The rest work in the office, white collar, blue collar type deal.
Okay.
Now, so 24%. Let's keep that number when we start talking about washroom facilities and tampons and all that other jazz.
Sure.
Okay. One of every 50 women in Canada earns a living in construction.
That I don't believe.
I don't think so. That might be off. The Canadian construction industry consists of 12% women and 88% men.
See, that's bullshit.
Why?
It's not correct.
That could be overall. That could be some provinces. I don't know if that's Ontario or stats in Canada.
I'm telling you, it's 95.5.
Could be.
I know it is.
Right now. Maybe you're looking at it right. This is 2021.
Yeah, but it wasn't increasing.
I'm not sure.
They're inflating those. Somebody's padding their numbers.
It could be, right? The Canadian construction industry consists of 12% women.
See, here's the problem. As a marketing person, and I know a little bit thing or two about marketing, two digits is a lot bigger than one digit.
Sure.
Do you buy things that are $9.99 or $10?
$9.99.
So they had to get to two digits, and they couldn't have been 11. That's why. So they went to 12. Reality was that it was 5.
I'm sure it fluctuates in percentage. I'm sure depending on the province, it fluctuates depending on.
But as I'm going as an average throughout all the provinces.
We don't have enough data.
I'm saying my data
is
95.5. That's my data. But 95.5 is not attractive to get more women into construction.
So they pad the numbers to make it a bigger selling feature.
It's a marketing. That's a marketing thing.
Yeah, I believe it.
So you can't be spitting out stats based on marketing. You have to spit out stats based on reality. I'm just disagreeing with that one. That's all.
So far, the best stats that are comparable that are official stats from the Ministry of Labor from a previous episode that deals with males and females fatalities and criticals. And
it was 95.5.
Yeah, those were 95.5, right? But again, just because it's 95.5 doesn't necessarily mean that that's what the representation of the workforce is.
I'm just saying it is. This is incorrect.
Okay. I'm not disagreeing.
I get it.
Okay. But again, these are some good numbers for us to go off in case we want to do some calculations. All right? But again, 24% of the women that are in construction, we'll call them the blue collar, are on site.
Sure.
The rest are the white collars.
Sure.
You know, HR staff or whatever, VP or CEO or, you know, I don't know, engineers.
Engineers, surveyors. Yes.
Yeah, okay. A nice mix of everything, right? Sure.
Still construction relevant. Okay.
So let's keep some of these numbers in mind and let's talk about women in construction. And so before we jump into the sectors and stuff, let's take a look at what this new regulation is requiring. So where 20 or more workers are regularly, and that's a key word, employed at a project, again, a project, right? Not an industrial facility. Mm-hmm. This only applies to construction projects.
Okay.
The constructor shall ensure that menstrual products are provided. For the purpose of subsection 1, the menstrual products must include both tampons and menstrual pads, be kept clean and hygienic, and be provided in one or more locations at the project, such that for each worker, there is at least one location that offers a reasonable amount of privacy and is reasonably accessible. This section does not apply to a constructor at a project at which work is expected to last less than 3 months. Now,
I disagree with all that.
I know you do, but why do you disagree with it?
Because I think every bathroom, whether it's one employee or 20, whether the project is 1 day or 30 days or whatever, should have a bathroom facility that has hot and cold running water, separate urinal, separate sink, AC and heat. everyone, which would include toilet paper and also menstrual and tampons. Everyone. That should just be, when you buy a car, do you get three tires or do you get four tires? Like, every bathroom should be, that should be the norm. That solves all the problem. There's no discussion now. So it's catered towards a man, it's catered towards a woman.
So these regulations, yeah, no, Manny, I agree. Manny, listen, you keep it
equal. I'm keeping it real fucking simple.
Keep it equal, keep
I'm
it fair.
I'm acting as if I'm actually, I have the sure. job. I have the seven-figure job where I'm running this shit.
Manny, vote for Manny. I'm going to have to make a t-shirt. Vote for Manny, man. That's it. So.
But Manny, you got to change your name. It's too masculine.
No, it's too Portuguese.
No, Manny. It's, you can't have starting with Manny. Man.
Manuel. I got it,
man. It'd be man-wom.
Stop.
Man-wom.
Stop.
Man-wom.
Just be yourself.
M-A-N-W-E-M. Okay. I disagree with that. That's okay. A stupid regulation. So, I'm sorry. Listen, it doesn't solve the issue.
Whether it's smart, whether it's stupid, it's here. And let's see who it addresses and who it applies to.
You just described Trudeau. Whether it's smart, whether it's stupid, it's here.
Oh, man.
All right.
I hear Mark Carney is going to be our new prime minister.
And that statement will be still relevant.
Yep. All right. So back to it. Who does this apply to and what type of construction projects? So this follows a lot of the same requirements of the Joint Health and Safety Committee. So a construction that has a Joint Health and Safety Committee, this is going to apply to.
Okay.
Why? Because the Joint Health and Safety Committee has a lot of similarities with this section in terms of the thresholds for this regulation to apply.
These thresholds are designed for big corporations to get away with certain things.
No, the big corporations are the ones that are going to have to pay for this. So where 20 or more workers are regularly employed, that does not apply to every infill housing project in the city of...
Of course not.
In the province.
Of course not. Okay? On a good day, you might have 20.
Right. So this is going to apply to... all of the big low-rise projects, you know, like we're building 500 houses type deal.
Yeah.
This is going to apply to all the high-rise projects.
Yeah.
And this is going to apply to all the infrastructure projects. Okay. But this is not going to apply to road work.
Where do they go?
Let me, hold on. We'll
on
get
the side
there.
Of the highway?
Let me rephrase that. This will apply to a select group of projects that are being done on the road. Why? Because a lot of these projects are short duration. I'm going in to install guide rail. I'm just going in here to do this section. I'm just, you know, road work, whatever it may be. If there's a washroom there, if 20 workers are regularly employed, right? You can have a project where it's only 15. It could be a 7-month project, but there won't be more than 15 workers there.
You remember that show we did regarding the China and the drones, and they repaved a certain kilometers all? That machine was doing everything?
Yeah.
I guarantee you, we couldn't see it in the video, but I bet you any money that machine, if it needed, could have a bathroom facility on it.
Sure.
I'm just trying to explain that it's easy to have bathroom facilities on any job site with bare minimum employees or bare maximum employees. This is skirting, getting away with certain things. Well, so you got 19 workers now. Now you got 19 people who can't go to the bathroom because
they're not obligated. This is not the bathrooms. Hold on a sec. This is, let's not get ahead of ourselves. This deals specifically with tampons and menstrual pads. Okay.
But everybody addressed that. I said every bathroom should have that.
Yeah, it should. But not every project has a bathroom.
But every project should have a bathroom. I've already addressed that one too.
Yeah.
I signed that executive order. It's all done. It's done, man.
Every construction project, period.
I gave the pen out to like Cottonelle. It's done.
Anyways.
And speaking of which, we all know how shit the toilet paper is on job sites.
But the one ply?
Yeah, where you could either sand wood or wipe your ass.
That would have been a nice regulation. Make it mandatory for 3-ply in all these washing
minimum
facilities.
Minimum 2-ply.
No. If we're writing the reg and it's an executive order.
I would
order,
make it triple.
Yeah, it has to be 3-ply.
I would broker a deal with whoever it is, Cottonelle or whoever. Who's the squishy, the bear thing? Sharma. Squeeze the Charmin.
Can we get back to this? Seriously.
Yeah, I'm talking about I don't want to use sandpaper to wipe my ass. I want
nobody
paper.
Does, right?
But okay, but these regulations are being designed to get big corporations around certain things.
No, they're not, Manny. This is specifically for the big construction projects and what who's not having to deal with this is the smaller projects.
Road work. Short duration. You were on road work. Okay.
No, but infill housing too. And again, infill housing, if we're counting the number of projects, there's definitely more infill housing projects than there are major construction projects.
Do you know why I dispute this?
Why are you disputing it?
how many times have you heard stories or and or seen guys that have been in infill housing have taken a dump in the gravel in the basement and didn't care?
Manny, there is nobody that I know. Well, maybe a couple of people I know as inspectors.
But they're peeing everywhere, first of all.
It was really bad a long time ago. If you go back 90s, early 2000s, and stuff like that, dude, we joke about yellow Gatorade bottles, but now there was a whole aspect of guys using the washroom, just going number two wherever they wanted, man, on job sites. It got out of hand there for a bit, too.
I know, but they make a little hole in the gravel and then do it and cover it up again.
Man, workers deserve more dignity than that.
So if you don't have the proper facilities for everybody, you'll get that. If you get the proper facilities, you won't get that.
But just like everything else, it costs money. All right, then unfortunately, some of these builders, that's where they save money. It's on the expense of the workers.
$6 million. Okay, so I interrupted you. Go ahead.
I lost my train of thought.
But traffic control, job sites, infill.
What I can tell you is this. Based on that number, what did we say? 24%.
Enter in the field? That's what you said. I don't agree.
Based on those stats.
Yeah, those stats.
Based on those stats. That's what you're saying. 24% of the women in construction are in the field. Blue collar in the field front lines. Out of these 24%, this regulation will probably only apply to, and this is a guesstimate, but it's, I'll say 7%, half.
Half.
So out of the 100% of women that work in the construction industry, give or take between 7 to 12% of those women, give them to take out of the 12%, half of that, right?
Yeah.
76, 14%,
7%
in the field.
Yeah.
Give or take, this regulation is going to apply to this many women compared to all of the women that are in the construction industry.
I get it.
Right? Some quick maths here. But yeah, so this regulation, again, is only a select few. If the government wanted to address tampons and menstrual pads and stuff like that, why wouldn't they write a regulation for all of the women working in every single sector in this province? Why do they write a regulation that only applies to the smallest amount of percentage possible?
Because the government is in bed with big builders that are dictating that they don't want the responsibility to have all.
That's one way to look at it. It could be that this was all just virtue signaling and let's create something to make it sound like we're doing something.
People
and
here.
Now, yeah.
I get it.
You know, as an enforcement officer, I think this is great. Does it apply to all the women in construction? No. So why have a regulation that only applies to a select few?
When you ask the government about how it only applies to a select few, now you've got a traffic control situation. You got, let's say, road work going on. And you're under the parameters of what you're supposed to have a bathroom facility. Mm-hmm. What does the government say you're supposed to do then when you do need to do a worker, one or two? You're a worker and you're under the numbers that don't require a bathroom on site. Where are you supposed to go?
That's a good question.
So have they answered that question? So if they're solving a problem by saying these are the parameters.
You're going to the gas station or the
Tim's. So you're leaving the job site. What if you can't leave the job site because you're monitoring something that's being done?
That's also, and diapers? Again, take the tower crane operator that pees in his Gatorade bottle, right? Unfortunately, this is
reality.
We're talking about hygiene and workers' rights and access to clean facilities. And, you know, I let's take a look at some of these sectors, right? So which sectors, again, this is a guesstimate. This isn't based on data. This is solely based on my experiences and my clients and the world I operate in. Which sectors have, and these aren't in any specific order, but again, traffic control. Traffic control, I think, has the biggest representation of blue-collar female workers on sites.
I agree with that.
Traffic control and the women that work for these employers, and you can take a look at any of these major traffic control companies, they're the ones that have the least amount of access to washroom facilities.
Yeah.
They don't even have washrooms, let alone washrooms with tampons. And this poses a challenge, number one, because if they're creating regulations specifically for women, how does it not even address a sector that has the most women in the field?
Dun, dun, dun.
You know what I mean? Like, I feel for these women. I've talked to some of these ladies that work at the traffic control, and they're in the evenings and nights and, you know, a lot of road work on the 401. That's
I get it. But I also feel for the men that are in the same boat because there's no facilities there for 100%.
Men. And again, the challenges. And now, you know, unfortunately, women are getting a taste of the challenges men have been facing for the last 25, 30, 40, 100, 2,000 years. And what have
they done on road work? They probably have just done it on the side of the road.
Some ladies have told me that they've gone on the side of the road. Some of them have told me that they have to go to a Tim Hortons in Oshawa, for example, at 2 o'clock in the morning, full of crackheads and needles and shit like that.
I get it. Yeah.
Right. So, you know, was this a well-intentioned regulation?
Of course not.
Is it going to, I don't know, man. I don't know.
I really want that job. I feel like, man. Okay.
Be careful what you ask for, Manny. Skilled trades. And now plumbers, electricians, and drywall and stuff like that. And I think this sector...
Low rise, high rise, everybody, right?
Low rise, high rise, everybody. This sector definitely grabs a lot of, females in this sector of construction. And it's amazing. I love it. Cleaning and maintenance. So this is another sector that has a lot of female representation in it. You know, like the buildings and once again, and cleaning and prepping them and stuff like that. Unfortunately, and again, this is a problematic area too, because by the time these cleaning crews are coming in or you know, the washroom facilities are, a lot of the construction work has already been done, so the washroom facilities have been removed.
I know, but you've got the new facilities, the working finished facilities.
Whether or not you're allowed to use them, whether or not they have toilet paper, whether or not the builder doesn't want the workers using the facilities for the clients, there's a whole other area.
I got flack for being one of the first guys to use a toilet that was installed because it belongs to the client.
Yeah.
And I was like, I need to test it.
That was a good test, I'm sure.
It worked perfectly.
There you go.
Theory was practical on site.
There is challenges for this sector.
I know, but you can't do that. So in that, let's talk about that. Okay, so you can't remove construction facilities and not allow to use the new finished facilities in the same breath. You can't do that.
They can do whatever they want until someone complains and MOL enforcement steps in.
I know, but then now you're forcing people to go to other businesses like the Tim Hortons. Always Tim Hortons or whatever, but whatever, your other businesses.
Washrooms, even during COVID, remember they had to get involved, the Ministry of Labor had to get involved because the truckers weren't being allowed to use the washroom facilities at the truck stops. Yeah, I don't remember this.
I know the food thing. It was bullshit.
Ford even going on TV and he's like, yo, man, you guys better open up these washrooms. Yeah. And again, it's challenges. Challenges for whoever's doing the cleaning and maintenance. And, you know, all the washrooms and all the floors get removed, right? The porta potties and stuff. And they all get put on the ground floor. Yeah. And, you know, now you're a worker on the 30th floor and the only washroom facility is located on the ground floor, which is contrary to the regulation.
What's degrees on site?
So I didn't know how to classify this, but like engineers you know, it's something that you need a degree for.
Yeah, I mean, they come to the site, they do site visits, site meetings and stuff like that, and they need to use facilities.
Sure.
I've never seen an interior designer use a construction toilet. I've never seen an art. I've seen an engineer have no problem using a facility.
One thing's for sure. When you got to go, you got to go.
I know, but they always have that breath of opening up the door, wondering, am I going to see the pyramid of shit, or am I going to see something nasty, or am I going to see a Jackson Pollock fucking brown there?
It's like a Kinder surprise, man. You never know what you're going to get.
But yeah, okay.
And then you have low rise. And low rise, you know, we have a lot of clients in the carpentry sector and masonry sector and low rise forming and stuff. And I'll say this with the carpenters, something I observed in the last 2 years, a year and a half and stuff, a lot of them were bringing their girlfriends and their wives to work. You know,
work with them.
Yeah.
Sure.
And again, this is usually crews that have illegals and stuff like that. And, you know, but you're not staying home. We're in a new country. We got to work. Everyone has to work. Yeah. Everyone's putting in double shifts and save money, make money. So they would bring their girlfriends and wives to the job sites, right? But again, now you have females on a construction project. Now you have to deal with training with any worker that comes to a construction project, right? But they're definitely being introduced to construction really quick, right? Yeah. And a majority of the stuff that they would do, you know, is labor, right? Pick up this and clean that and housekeeping and maintain the work area and, you know.
You got to use the facility.
Yeah. And shout out on Instagram too. There's a lot of female construction workers that I follow and, you know, they talk about their perspectives and their challenges and being on a construction project. So, you know, it's Instagram, I think, is really good for that. Mm-hmm. All right. Mm-hmm. LinkedIn is more, I don't know, it's a corporate flavor to this, you know, and it's like
LinkedIn is bullshit these days.
Ah, man, LinkedIn is just
LinkedIn is all about ads and everybody saying the right thing. Nobody's allowed to actually share an opinion. Yeah, on LinkedIn.
No, it's a little too scripted for me.
It's a good thing that I don't even acknowledge any of the comments or even look at that shit.
Well, hey, listen, it's another platform, right? But so you know,
I still disagree with this.
Well, listen, I think it's great. I think that if the government really wanted to tackle this issue, first they get rid of the pink tax for all women. Whether you're a worker or not worker, just get rid of the pink tax.
What's a pink tax?
It's the tax that they put on menstrual products. They call it the pink tax. Right? Like, it should just be tax-free. If the government really wanted to help.
Yeah, of course.
If the government wanted to do something that helps women in all sectors, in all industries, not just the construction, and out of construction, let's only apply it to the sliver of a group.
Got it.
Right? So there's a lot the government can do. But again, this is more virtue signaling than anything else.
Yes, 100%.
Okay. That's how I look at it.
And this doesn't really attract more women into construction.
No, I think this.
I think it actually makes them.
If just going back on those numbers, 78% of the women aren't on construction projects. That means that, and this only applies to construction projects, this is not applied to industrial. So 78% of the women do not get access to menstrual pads or tampons, period. 78%, right off the hop.
I go back to, if I was running things, every fucking bathroom would have it.
Vote for Manny?
Yeah.
Right? I think so too. I think this is great, but I think the way they executed this and who it applies to is almost pointless.
I agree.
Right? Like, how you work for a construction company, these women go to construction projects, they get access to this. They get this pro. But then the other 78% of the women in my company
get fuck all.
Get zero.
That's not how it should be. If we're hiring based off skills, doesn't matter what sex you are, doesn't matter what background you have, if you're delivering skills, then every single one should be treated well. So this is what you require, this is what you require.
I think this has less to do with skills and more to do with helping women, right? And if you really wanted to help women. But they're not helping
women with this.
In the workforce, in the workplace, not just on construction projects, then the government would tackle this issue and make it apply to all women.
I agree.
Right? Like, we're gonna create a regulation. Let's take it and flip the coin a bit. We're going to take a regulation, but it only applies to Portuguese workers, and it only applies to the Portuguese workers that work on these types of projects.
And how do you think the Italians are going to feel about that?
They want menstrual products too?
I'm just saying that you should treat every worker exactly the same way.
Of course you should. And right? Listen, again, well-intentioned, but this misses the mark. This is like I'm aiming that way and I went that way.
Yeah.
This totally misses the mark. And, you know, women should speak up about this.
Well, women and men should be speaking up about this.
Well we're speaking up about share. It right now. Yeah, I'm doing my part. Share,
right? I'm applying for a job
what
right
movie
now.
What movie was that? So. I'm doing my Starship Troopers?
Starship Troopers.
No, yeah. That's the one where they fight the aliens?
Yeah.
I'm doing my part. Right?
More propaganda. Yeah,
I get right. it. That's all it was.
Propaganda movies.
That's all right, all it is, so this poses a challenge, and not a challenge, but it really comes down to numbers. Right? So I have a few clients that are constructors, and Philip.
You broke down the numbers of the cost of tampons and the frequency use of tampons?
In our business, this call is called a cost analysis, right? And we had to do a cost analysis because the constructor is responsible to ensure that these products are available on a construction project.
But these aren't that high applies. Quality ones, right?
Oh, no, Manny. When we do math, we go. Bottom? I provide a range.
Okay.
But
do you ever get to the top of the range or is that like bottom to middle?
It's like those really nice washrooms. They cost more. So you're getting the porta potty that's a bucket with a flap and some sanitizer and that's what you're getting. Right? So, you know, my clients are like, okay, Phil, how much is it going to cost me? So what did I find? I found the cheapest tampon that I can find was 22 cents
each.
And that's not even with an applicator. That's like, I don't know. I'm learning a lot here. I had to ask a lot of questions to the, okay, to the ladies it, in my life that I know.
22 cents?
22 cents was the cheapest one that I could find. Just for the record, the ones without applicators.
Talk about two-plier, single-plier sandpaper, man. Like,
this is worse than one-ply.
Yeah.
And then the more on the higher range Uline is offering them, I think it's at 50 cents a tampon. So, and then we had to break it down by averages. Again, ladies, I did the best that I could with Google and the ladies in my life. And the females that I work with, they gave me some of these answers. So average 4 to 6 per day, average 4 to 5 days, 30 per female worker per month. You're looking at a cost between $9 and $15 per female worker per month.
Okay? That's nothing. And those are cheapy versions.
Again,
even double it or triple it to get a better version.
Per worker.
I know, but it's $45, right? Man. Yeah,
but then you have 10 workers, that's $150.
How are their skills? How are their skills?
I think it's
if their fucking magical skills are amazing, then they're doing great work. Fucking worth it to me, man.
Well, then if they don't, it's not worth it?
No. They're not hired. They're not doing the job if they have shit skills, right?
Fair. And that goes for any. So again, when we started doing the math on maxi pads, you know, the average was 40 cents. I found cheaper ones too. I think it was 27 cents. So
you got $12 per month.
$12 a month, right? But this is not even counting theft. Right.
Yeah. So, well, see, that's why the toilet paper single ply, because nobody steals that.
Nobody steals that. That's like that anti homeless architecture, you know, like the park bench, but it has spikes in it.
I fucking hate that. I hate that. That's anti homeless and anti skaters. And right. I miss skaters in the city.
Yeah,
right. I like skaters. They never annoyed me. I like skaters. Okay. Well,
listen, the math. I get it. Unfortunately, and. Safety comes with math, man. This is the reality of it.
Yeah, right? No, but okay. Those executives who actually put these orders in place are spending more on their fucking latte drinks than they are on one drink than they are spending on a month of pads.
Again, Manny, this is why it should have just been applied to all women. Period.
Period.
Like, you know, again, if the government really wanted to help women, they would just eliminate the pink tax.
Yeah, I agree.
They would make this mandatory for all workplaces, you know? And again, I'm sure there's a lot of employers out there that, why should I be the one responsible to absorb the cost of you? For sure, there's going to be employers that push back on something like this, right? Because it's an additional cost.
I mean, you ask me all the time, where's the more safety? Like the low rise has got the worst safety record. I think the high rise has got the worst cost analysis bullshit based on the worker.
They all do these cost analysis, man. It all comes down to how much.
I think low rise treats their workers a lot better.
Better?
When it comes to these things, I think a low rise custom builder would have no problem paying the triple price for having proper pads.
Yeah, but this doesn't apply to those builders.
I know, that's what I mean. But they're still doing it. They're implementing it.
And that brings up a good point. Should builders, constructors, that this does not apply to, should they take the extra step?
Yes. And, yes.
You know, even the suppliers. Because
if you have a female who passes by site, how many times you have been on site? And I actually don't mind. I love this shit. Like garbage day or any other city worker coming by, they see the porta potty on our job site. They're like, dude, can I borrow? Go right ahead, man.
Yeah.
I have no problem with that.
No, listen, I think you're right. This should just be available in every single washroom facility, period.
So then we know it.
Right?
Simple.
Whether it's male or female, just have it there because a lot of the washrooms are unisex.
Yeah.
I agree,
that
man.
That solves all the problems.
Again.
I know.
The government is not in the business of solving problems.
We don't have a seven-figure job.
Even if you had it, Manny.
Oh, I would be implementing this shit, seriously.
Manny.
I would spend one day every single week
problems,
and driving around to all the job sites and double-checking that everything's fucking done. I'd be like, yep, two-ply. Yep, pads. Good quality ones. Thank you. Next one. Let's go. Motorcade.
Listen, it's just
bells and whistles. Everything.
I think it's great to really take a look at this because
speak up on it, man.
You know, listen, a lot of women in construction, you know, they're like, yeah, menstrual pads and this and that. And I'm like, yo, hold on a sec. Yeah, but this doesn't apply. And according to that stat, 78% of you. Or 76, what was it?
70, I would have 76. But that's what's bullshit.
That this doesn't apply. And like, even at a company, like, again, man, that woman gets menstrual pads, but I'm here and I don't get them, right? And do you think that these women that are working in the offices, if they go on site, they're not going to take some? Or, hey, can you bring some to our office? And, you know, like, I don't know, as an employer, if you're striving for balance, I guess, then you should make them available to all your industrial female workers too.
Listen, until I ponied up and went with the better bathroom, I was bringing in my own Cottonelle. You know what I mean? Because I wasn't happy with that.
Dude, I had emergency toilet paper with me for years. I still do.
It's just like,
just in case, man.
I know, I get it.
You know?
But I would leave it there too, right? For the guys, because I felt bad. I was like, like you said, it's a reflection of what kind of builder is there.
It is, right? Washroom facilities is a direct reflection of what the constructor thinks about the workers.
If you see the constructor using the facilities, then you know that constructor cares about the workforce.
Sure.
If you don't see them use it.
And you know, I've talked to supervisors and stuff, and you know, how come we don't have washrooms? And the answer is literally, you're like, fuck those guys. They can shit in a bucket. And
that I have a problem with.
Oh, Manny. I'm not the right person to say that to.
But all right, so then this doesn't really solve the problem. But then they patted themselves on the back saying, hey, we solved the problem.
Whether they patted themselves on the back, I think it's very important. If we are talking about women in construction, I think it's very important in talking about these regulations, who they apply to.
You know what this does do? It discourages women from getting into construction. New women. Listen, that's what this does.
Construction pays well. If you got the skill set, construction will always welcome.
But if you segregate these rules like this,
I think these things are more wedge issues than anything else.
Yeah, right? I agree with you on that one.
If you just, there's easier ways to do it to keep it fair and keep it an even playing field. And again, this is the perspective of some men on site. You know, it's like, I've been dealing with shit garbage washrooms for 25 years. All of a sudden, women show up and they get these nice heated washrooms. The keys, the door's always locked. It's only for the women. You go in there, you know, it smells like potpourri and everything is beautiful. Meanwhile, I'm stuck with this washroom and it's garbage and what the
segregation.
Hell?
They've been doing that for
years. I understand the perspective, right? And I can understand why some workers can feel that way, because I've gone to washrooms facilities or used washroom facilities and it's like, no, I don't want to use the men's. I want to use the women's washroom. Man, give me the key to that woman's washroom, right? And it's nice and it's heated, you know? So I don't know, man, you know, inclusivity is key and equality and fairness is key. But even these regulations right away divides industrial workers and construction workers, female ones, right? Like, again, these menstrual pads only apply to...
It doesn't make any sense. It should apply to 100% of women that are in the construction industry on every exactly. single construction 100. Project. 100%.
But the problem is it's construction regulations and industrial regulations. And if you put in the industrial regulations, it applies to every single workplace that is not mining. And it's not healthcare. Or it's not a construction project.
Where do miners go to bathroom? They don't bring bathrooms into each tunnel, do they?
I don't know, man.
I got a friend out west. I got to ask him about that.
I feel like some guys might wear diapers, man.
Really?
I'm not quoting that. I've personally never been into a mine.
No, I've never been in. I know.
I've been on open-faced mines, but never. Let's go a click down. And Sudbury, actually, they have a nickel mine there. So I really want to go to. Might make it a little adventure for me and my kids.
That'd be interesting.
Yeah, you get to go and check out the mine. Well,
take note if there's where the bathrooms are.
Yeah.
Or if there's some special rocks.
It's just a little curtain that they have. You go behind the curtain. I would be surprised if I saw
that. But that's what I mean is that everybody, you have to go. I don't care who you are. Man. You have to go somewhere, number one, number two.
And the sad thing about it is that they sold these washroom facilities for females and menstrual pads. But the biggest sectors that have females in them in construction don't even get access to this. Right? Which is mind boggling, man. I don't know. I don't know.
What else you got to share here?
Yeah, let's change the topic from tampons.
I'm going to put like heated toilet seats. That's what I'm going to do, man.
So female washroom facilities only required on projects with 61 or more if they're sewered facilities, 41 or more if they're non-sewered facilities.
I think there's a rule coming out where it's starting with BC, where all new construction toilets have to be sewered now.
How? I think. How are you going to put a... I'm starting a construction project in the middle. I read
somewhere, and now... Because everything starts in BC. I don't know why. BC has the levers now. Eh? You can't put a doorknob anymore in code. Every home that's being built new has to have a door lever.
I think BC is an excellent representation of overregulation.
100%.
And BC is an excellent example of over-engineering safety.
Yeah, 100%.
Let's wrap everybody up in bubble wrap.
Yeah.
And let's walk on eggshells when we're on the construction 100%. Project so that BC's nobody gets a splinter. Incredibly
fucking liberal. Fuck.
Well, they're NDPs over there, man. That's
they're sucking the same fucking yeah.
You okay, know what I'm man.
I'm just saying that these regulations are coming, listen, and they're eventually going to come to Ontario.
What I'm looking forward to is the next protests, and whenever the next protests happen, Manny, we're going to put on our ski mask and we're going to go to the protests. Oh,
I'm
and
going to put protest. On a Trudeau mask. That's what I'm going to do.
Ski mask's the worst. Got to hide from the facial recognition and the AI tracking everybody.
We have Trudeau in the crowd. All
right. Actually, on a side note, that I was looking at. Some of these protesters and how they trick the cameras with AI because they're doing facial recognition of people that are protesting. And a lot of it has to do with stickers, reflective stickers you put on your face so the camera can't capture and read your face. It's crazy, man. Wow. Anyway, side notes.
Okay, so what's this here?
Washroom facilities and separate toilet facilities shall be provided for male and female workers unless the facilities are intended to be used by only one worker at a time. So a porta potty only has one toilet. If it's multiple toilets, then it needs to be
identified. But that's illegal.
What's illegal?
You have to have a separate urinal and a separate toilet in every construction bathroom facility.
That's not what the regulations say.
Okay. It's illegal. I'm telling you right now.
What's illegal? I don't get it.
You have to have a separate urinal and a separate toilet.
No, you have a toilet and a urinal inside the same porta potty.
No, but this regulation is saying unless there's only one worker, then you only need a toilet.
Not one worker, one toilet. So if it's one toilet, one porta potty, everybody can use it. If it has two toilets, then it needs to be separated by male or female.
But right? It's just still illegal because you still have to have a sink with running water and you have to have heat and you have to have hot and cold running water.
It's not illegal because there's a caveat that says if reasonably possible. Right? But what's reasonably possible? Is it possible for a high-rise project on the 17th floor that is 3 kilometers from Lake Ontario that costs $100 million to make, is it reasonably possible that they can get running water on the 17th floor? Yes.
Yes, it is. Of course it is. 100% it is.
Very few projects where it is not reasonably possible to have running water. And one of the caveats is because the constructor doesn't want to pay for that $500 portable.
That's why.
Because those ones have running water.
Yeah.
Right? So a lot of this has to do with reasonably possible, and a lot of this has to do with budget.
Legalese, man.
Right? That's what it is. It's the caveats and the loopholes.
I know. Okay.
Where the minimum number of toilets required at a project under subsection 5 or 7 is 5 or more, at least one facility at the project shall be for the use of female workers only where reasonable in the circumstances. There's the caveat. Okay. If the facility is intended for use by males only or females only, it shall have a sign indicating that. Okay. If the facility is intended for use by female workers, there shall be a disposal receptacle. That's the word I was looking for.
Disposal receptacle?
For menstrual products. So this order I've written thousands of times.
So I actually disagree with order 2.2, whatever.
It shall have a sign?
Yeah. Because that's segregation.
Manny, washrooms, males on this side, females on this side. That's been going on for thousands of years.
I know, but on a job site, I have one toilet. It's kept clean. It has everything legally in there. Both men and women use it.
If it has one toilet,
yeah,
that's perfectly fine.
Yes, it's just one toilet. It's one person at a time. Yeah.
You're good to go. It's unisex,
I
know, man.
But I don't need to put a sign on there, men and women or whatever, right? So
again.
I know. This is bullshit. I need that job. I'm going to change all this shit.
Are you joking? You would lose your marbles. Where are we? If a project is being carried out in a remote, unpopulated area, and it is not reasonably possible to provide toilet facilities required under subsection 3, other types of toilet facilities shall be provided. Now, the question
is... For example, what? A bucket?
A bucket with a plastic bag in it, I'm guessing.
Do I have to hold a sign if it's a men's or a washroom or a woman's washroom while I'm sitting on the toilet?
Listen, remote and reasonably possible and other types of toilet facilities. What does that look like?
I don't know. Explain to me, what does that look like?
I'm in...
Is there a subsection to that one? No.
Let's see, what does it say?
No. So they don't tell you. What does that mean? Tell me what that means. I don't understand.
I don't understand that.
Okay.
Other types of toilet facilities shall be provided. That's it. What would be considered other types of toilet facilities? I don't know. When water flush toilets or non-recirculating chemical flush toilets are provided, the minimum number of toilets required of the project is as follows. Okay. So 1 to 15. This is for Seward.
Okay.
A porta potty is good for 1 to 10.
Yeah, that's the magic number. And then sometimes you're going to have more than 10, so you got to clean it twice that week.
Yeah.
That's
you should always have more. You should always plan for the most amount of workers.
And during the harsher winter days, you should be cleaning it more often too as well because it gets... I've had to replace toilets because they couldn't clean the frozen shit.
Yeah, but you know, from the perspective of the workers, yes. Toilets, facilities, hygiene, cleanliness, respect.
Yeah.
From the perspective of the constructor, we get you nice washrooms, you guys mangled them all up, someone put shit all over the walls. I've seen some really disgusting toilets. I know. Again, maybe they're not being maintained as frequent as necessary. Maybe, you know, but there's people out there that ruin it for everybody else. Right? So it's kind of tricky. But washroom facilities definitely is a representation of the reflection of how workers or how constructors or builders or whatever...
Of them.
You know, it's a reflection, man. It's like housekeeping. I walk onto a job site and it's messy and garbage everywhere. It's a
reflection of them.
It's a reflection on the constructor.
I know.
Right? Access and egress and you know, drinking water. Hey, do you have drinking water for the workers here? No, they go buy their own water.
I did. I'd have a cooler that I filled
up. By law, you're required to have drinking water available for the workers on the project. You know how many times I've written that order, Manny?
I had a big cooler.
Yeah.
Fresh water.
But you're required to have a separate cup and clean cups and this and
that. I was asking everybody have their containers, their water bottles.
And fill it up.
So then you don't have to, like, because you get a water cup and they just throw it or leave it on the job site.
Yeah, it's one time use and it becomes garbage.
Listen, it's your fucking bottle. Like, come on. Let's be a little. Yeah.
Listen.
Let's call it trade sitting, not again, babysitting. Right?
Part of the regulation, though, with water is that it has, you got separate cups there for people to drink from.
That's fucking bullshit.
Why? What do you want?
Everybody's
to get
got a water bottle. I would be recommending you bringing your copper water bottle. I walk around with
my comfort water bottle my Stanley and I'm sipping. I don't do that.
Yeah.
Okay. But anyways, so that's washroom facilities in a nutshell. Again, these female washroom facilities only apply to very select few number of projects based on the requirements. They actually, based on these numbers, may not even apply to some of the ones that menstrual products apply to. Okay, where you only have 25 workers and not 41 workers, right? So there's some caveats here, and the way they did this is it's kind of sneaky, to be honest with you, right? So
listen, what they're selling here, I'm not sold, and if I was a woman, I'd be discouraged to be in construction.
I wouldn't be discouraged, but you got to understand the game that you're coming into. Right? And again, I know, but
you also have the right to change that game if you're coming into this.
Do you?
Change for the entire industry, not for the individual.
Or the select group.
Yes.
Yeah. Listen, I think this is great, but if they wanted to do something meaningful, that's, you know, I feel like they missed the mark.
They totally missed it.
Right? You have one female on a construction project. Why can't you have one washroom for females? Or you have a bunch of unisex washrooms like it's always been. I don't know.
I would still not separate. I would still have one washroom that's for both sexes.
That's the way it was for a very long time.
But that washroom would have napkins in it. That washroom would have hot and cold, heat, AC.
And then like that, all workers can face the same challenges.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's respect.
I think so.
How do you want to wrap this one up?
So, that tackles all of it in terms, well, not all of it, but our perspective on the regulations for washroom facilities and menstrual pads and all this stuff. But again, just want to wrap up the whole women in construction. I can tell you right now, without women in construction, we would like chickens without our heads cut
1,000%.
Off. 1,000%. Women,
for sure.
Even in my organization, women are the glue that hold the whole place together. Yeah. And without them, I'd be a chicken without a head. So thank you to all the women. Thank you for all the challenges. Thank you for everything you do. International Women's Day, man.
That was last week?
That was last week.
Yeah. The week after?
You know, it's funny. I was putting this presentation together with my daughter and stuff because she was watching me and stuff. And she had a lot of questions. And she actually wanted to come and sit in our podcast.
That would have been great.
Yeah, I know, but our podcasts are PG-13 and up.
Nope. I would say our podcasts are NC-17. They're, you know.
All right.
Well, they're open up. I'd be a little nervous having, how old is she?
Seven. Yeah, no, she's not coming to our
podcast. I might have to use different words, but I still mean the same thing.
I know.
Someone shared a post, and it just like, I love your sentiment about women, and I agree with you 1,000%, but someone did send me a post about International Women's Day, and there was a banner that was put up on a wall, and it was all creased, and the caption said, nobody could iron this before we actually hung it.
Manny, jokes are jokes, right?
It was all creased. Even me as a man, I would have saw that banner and I'm like, it's all creased. I would have been ironing it. I would have ironed it.
Do you even know how to use an iron, Manny?
Of course I do. Yes, I do. I know how to do fucking everything, all right?
It's very important to have all the skill sets.
Listen, I've perfected the best way
of ironing?
How to clean a toilet and keep a toilet clean.
I'm listening. Give us your.
You can judge me all you fucking want.
I'm not judging you,
but
Manny.
The thing is, here's the thing: Manny cleans his own fucking toilets, right? So I stopped doing one fucking thing.
Chemicals?
No.
What?
I don't fucking stand to pee.
You sit to pee.
And
stop.
I,
hang
on a sec. Hang on a sec.
You lost me already.
Think about it.
Okay,
I'm thinking about it.
I've never
cleaned any urine. Outside of my toilet seat. Never. Not once. And for all you parents who have kids or lazy fucking men, you wake up in the morning, you got bad eyesight, and you're standing and peeing, and then you got drops everywhere, and you fucking clean that toilet. I don't fucking clean
any
urine.
Why are you getting so passionate about this?
I'm just saying.
I'm so passionate.
Because I would have ironed that banner because it was stupid that it was hung that way. Whether it was a man or a woman that was hanging that banner, I would have fucking ironed that banner because it's a reflection of the message on that banner. That's all I'm saying.
You know what I like doing, man? I'm from that school of thought because I grew up with a lot of women and, you know, I'm blessed to have very strong women in our family. And even as a kid, I started folding laundry and cleaning. Yeah. And none of these are gender-specific roles.
No.
These are life skills that you need
yes.
to have. I'd probably smoke you though in ironing, eh? I'll iron a whole bunch of shirts.
Oh, probably.
I got
right?
bad skills.
I get it, but I'm good at folding shit. Like I can organize shit and put all that shit. I'm good at that shit, but I'm also good at keeping things clean.
Yeah, well, apparently you're sitting, so.
I don't give a shit. First of all, I got a heated toilet seat. I got a heated toilet seat.
Oh, that must be nice.
In the morning, in winter, you sit down?
Must be nice.
You sit down?
You're inside, it's not outside. Anyways,
the difference between sitting on a cold
Manny,
toilet.
Manny, I learned something new about you today, man. And you know what? I will never look at you the same.
I don't give a shit, man. I'm telling you, it fucking works. I've never cleaned any urine outside of my toilet. Never. Ever. Never will.
Because you don't got kids, man.
I would tell them to fucking sit down.
I was cleaning pee off the walls the other day. Anyways.
Yeah, that's different. We're out of here.
No, we're not out of here.
What do you got left? There's still more? Shit. We're going on almost an hour.
Hour and a half, I mean.
Okay, one more. No, what else you got? Oh, fuck, we got a fine? See, I already told you about my zero with the no zeros there.
I started making the boxes bigger so it would throw you off in terms of how many zeros, how many digits.
That's six figures?
I don't know. Let's find out. Construction project supervisor fined blank after workplace injury. All right, background on this case. December 20th, 2022, Mr. Wilkes was the project supervisor at the site, which included workers from Mr. Wilkes' company and two framing subcontractors. There were openings in the floor at each level of the building for a planned elevator shaft. The opening to the elevator shaft on the first floor was covered by sheets of insulation made of dense polystyrene featuring the words, "Do not step."
Wow.
While a framer was working on the first floor, they stepped onto the material covering the opening for the elevator shaft and fell through to the basement floor. So that's, I'm guessing, at least 12 to 15, maybe 10 to 15. I don't know. It doesn't say the nature of the injuries of the worker. A Ministry of Labor, Immigration, Training, and that's where the acronym is. Ministry of Labor, Immigration. I don't know if they're doing a good job on immigration. I don't know if they're doing a good job on training, and I'm not sure they're doing a good job on skills development, but their investigation found that the polystyrene covering did not meet the requirements for a protective covering set out in Section 26.3, Sub 2 of the construction regulations, nor was there an adequate guardrail system in place around the opening as required by 26.3. Sub 2. Mr. Wilkes failed as a supervisor to ensure that a worker worked with the protective devices, measures, and procedures required by Section 26.3 Sub 2 of Ontario Regulation, Construction Regulations, contrary to Section 27.1A of the Occupational Health and Safety Act. Basically, this guy was a project supervisor. They had a bunch of openings for this elevator shaft, and a worker fell down.
And he thought he was being smart by using...
Yeah, like
XPS they poly foam,
which is mind-boggling. Like if you're gonna take
just a sheet of ply,
yeah. If you're gonna apply, would cost money, right? But if you're gonna take the steps of covering an opening, you know, why use polyurethane, like foam?
Listen, let's talk about money. A sheet of ply today is probably really about expensive. $70. A sheet of foam is probably about $15.
15. I don't know. I guess the do not step was adequate in this.
Can of spray paint now, so that foam just increased.
Yeah.
So I'm just saying that, like, so you potentially killed somebody because you wanted to save $40.
Yeah.
That's what I see here.
Yep.
Okay.
Because so, they took the time and effort to cover the hole.
That's what I mean. And they sprayed the phrase.
Yeah, and they put do not step. Like they this is doing the work with the wrong equipment or the wrong 100%. Material. That's what this is.
100%.
Right? And, you know, I put a sign there. I put it, do not step. The guy stepped on it. He's a, you know, like, I don't know, man.
The supervisor's wrong here in this situation.
So what's the fine, Manny? What do you think?
I'm going to say it's $100,000. Wait, we don't even know if they died. It was 10,000. So he was injured. He didn't die.
It doesn't say there's a fatality here. It doesn't even say a critical.
I'm going to be known as Manny at a zero. That's what I'm going to be. 10,000, 100 grand. I said 100 grand.
Yeah.
Manny at a zero.
I think the max fine for this would have been 500,000.
Oh, fuck. I would have went that way. I totally would have went that way.
Ryan Wilkes, project supervisor employed by The Lake Partnership, Inc. Because and the home construction project,
dying,
229 Riverside Drive, Toronto, Ontario. So again, infill housing. Residential, back to their stats that we showed last week on their last episode in terms of fatalities and injuries. This is where a lot of it happens, man.
I know it is. We need to do something about it.
All right. So 10K.
Should be 100K. Then the problem is that it should be more because I factor in that person's family, whoever they have to provide for. I factor in all that shit.
I know. I get it, Manny. You know, but
fine, 10 grand.
Fortunately, nobody died. Fortunately, nobody.
That's right.
Again, someone had to get injured here because the ambulance came to the project. The police come to someone. When emergency personnel come to a construction project, MOL is notified. Or a construction worker goes to a hospital, the hospital will notify the MOL.
Oh, really? Yeah. I didn't know that.
Yeah. If they catch it. Yeah.
They have to notify.
I don't know if they have to. This might be procedural stuff within their internal
policies. Mike Huber, because he used to be a paramedic, if that's the case.
Yeah, it's someone contacts the Ministry of Labor. I've had cases where the police have contacted the Ministry of Labor and say, hey, we responded to a what we think is a worker on a construction project. You guys need to come.
Kind of makes sense.
I'm sure it does, right? 911, and yeah, how does the Ministry of Labor find out?
It makes sense.
Right? But, you know, so that's this one.
10 grand's too little.
Anyways,
opinion, all right. That's it.
Manny, thank you very much.
Thanks, buddy.
Everyone, appreciate thank it. You very much.
We're out of here.
You're listening to Safety Corner, powered by TCL and S1, for workers by workers. Online and in-person health and safety programs and training available in 10-plus languages. Reach out to them at www.mys1.ca and DM them at my_S1 for more information.